9. I was known as Marge or Margie, short for Marjorie, my grandmother's name. I changed it to Marty, and for whatever reason, it took. When my husband's ancestors arrived at Ellis Island at the end of the 19th century, their last name was changed from Shanzovsky to Cohen. His grandfather later changed his name to Cohen. Many families have similar stories about changing their name. Our topic for today's Radio Times, we want your name change stories. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. We'll begin our conversation with Alina Simone. She's a Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter who changed her name and wrote about it in an essay in the New York Times. And Alina Simone, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Oh, thanks for having me. Hi.
Hi there. You were born in the Ukraine. What was the name that you were born with?
I was born with the name Alina Valenkin.
And was that a family name, Valenkin?
Yes. It remains a family name. I was the only one that changed it.
And Alina, what were you named for someone in your family, Alina?
No. Just a name my parents thought was pretty.
Now, when did you come to the United States?
I was about 1.5
and,
when we came here.
And when you came to the United States, was your last name Valenkin? Was that a liability?
When I came, well, I mean, at first I was too young for it to be a liability.
Exactly.
But as I grew older, it was during the Cold War, so... You know, people pretty much instantly knew I was Russian, probably more from my first name even, but, I mean, my parents spoke with an accent, and there were very, very few Russian children in my school, like in my elementary school. I think there were, out of 300 kids, maybe 3 were Russian, because you know, this was during the Soviet era, so it was still very difficult to emigrate here.
So did you...
And, yeah, and it was a liability. I, in fact... I mean, when I was little, I couldn't change my last name, but my friends all called me Allie. So I kind of Americanized my first name for a long time just to sort of, you know, avoid the whole issue. I spoke without an accent, but, you know, after a few questions, people are always like, oh, that's a weird name. And I do have the distinct memory of being Russian not being a good thing. You know, like people definitely, you know, cause occasionally would come up to us on the street and say things. And during Halloween one year, kids from my neighborhood with shaving cream wrote, "Commies go home" on our driveway.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, not that that happened often, but it did happen. And when you're a little kid, you just get scared. It only has to happen one or two times. Like, all you want to do is fit in. You don't want to be, you know, weird for some reason you can't even control. There are all these things you're weird for that you can control, you know, that you're trying to grapple with.
So tell us why you changed your name from Alina Valenkin to Alina Simone.
Well, I changed it because I wanted to be a singer, and I wanted to sing under my own name. And it was a little bit of a funny story because one day people were constantly misspelling my name and couldn't say my name. And I'm not saying that it's the most difficult name on earth. I know there are probably last names composed entirely of consonants, you know.
And, exactly.
And mine isn't that bad. But, you know, for me it was kind of annoying, especially, you know, if I was singing and people couldn't remember or say my name. And one day I got a letter addressed to me that was addressed to Alina Vileskin. I noticed that just one letter had been replaced. They had replaced the N with an S, and my last name became Vileskin. And I kept that envelope. I just, like, pinned it to the refrigerator. You know, for, like, a year it hung there. I really thought about changing my name for a very, very long time. I didn't just jump into it. It was just, you know, this nagging thing. You're like, I don't really like my last name. And then finally I was like, you know, I'm just going to do something about it. And the funny thing is that I did it right before I got married. And so instead, because I just thought that would be like this convenient smoke screen. You know, that's when everyone changes their name. But I didn't change it to my husband's last name, which I didn't like either. I just changed it to my mom's last name.
And what I'm curious, what's your husband's last name?
My husband's last name is his name's Joshua Knobe. His last name is K-N-O-B-E with a silent K. So it's a little bit tricky.
Exactly. And Vileskin just wasn't going to do it for you.
Vileskin just wasn't working for me. And I actually wrote another essay for New York Times Magazine 3 years ago about I got contacted by a friend from the past who somehow found me, because this was in sort of the pre-Google era when I changed my name. It became very difficult to find me for people from my youth, you know. But she tracked me down through my college, and it kind of got me curious about Vilenkin and Vilenkins. So I went on Facebook, and I typed in Vilenkin, and there were only a handful of Vilenkins, you know, 13 or something like that. And so I wrote to all of them to, you know, to try to see where, because they were obviously all from Russia or Ukraine, and I was just trying to sort of see if they're related and I could share my history. And, you know, and a lot of them wrote back and were really friendly. And one of them said that linguists hypothesized that the name Vilenkin was actually this nationalistic amalgam for V.I. Lenin, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin's name. And I never noticed that before, that it almost is V.I. Lenin, Vilenkin.
Absolutely. Now, you did also write about meeting a woman named Alina Simone.
Well, a woman came to one of my shows in June, and before I even opened my mouth, so it was not an homage to me, she just saw my name on a vinyl record that was displayed at the store. She just decided she liked it, and she changed her name to Alina Simone. Not her last name. She changed her first and middle name to Alina Simone.
And you actually had, and you had a cup of coffee or a meal or something with her?
I did. Because what happened was that the next show that I was at, I didn't know this woman, and I didn't know she changed her name. Then the next show I played, maybe a month later, an editor from Bomb Magazine, his name's Paul Morris, he came up to me and he just said, you know, I just think you should know this thing happened. I brought this friend to your last show, and, you know, she left the show calling herself Alina. You know, she was like, that's my new name. That's what you're calling me. And so he told me this funny story, and then it just kind of became this funny anecdote I'd tell people. I'd be like, this woman changed her name to my name. And then 6 months later, I just thought, I wonder how her year went, you know, as Alina Simone. Did it change her life? Did it make her feel different about herself? So, you know, through Paul, I got in touch with her. And she had actually a really dramatic story, like a very bad divorce. And, you know, she had found her husband having an affair. She woke up in the morning, she discovered him Skyping with a, you know, blonde woman in another country, asked about it, and he just sort of denied that anything was going on. But by that evening, had asked for a divorce. So, like, in the space of one day, her marriage, her 11-year-old marriage just unraveled.
Well, let me ask you, when you changed your name, was it for singing/professional reasons?
I mean, you know, I think it was, but I just wanted to. I feel like it would be lying to say that that was the only reason. I think that the best analogy I can come up with is I never understood that much why people cared so much about their wedding ring. Like, you know, people who, you know, really obsess about it and, you know, plan and, you know, or their engagement ring or whatever it is. And I think that to me, my name was like my wedding ring. It was like, you know, it's not that strange. It's something that you look at every single day that you're going to wear on your hand, hopefully forever. You know, this accessory that just is such a, you know, deep part of you. Not that your name is an accessory, but, you know, the ring and what it symbolizes. And I think that I just thought of my name as the same thing. I'm like, this word leaves my mouth, you know, a million times a day, and it's what people call me. And I want to love it. And well, I want to feel good about it.
Well, and I mean, one thinks of Nina Simone, of course, but also I think it's like the syllables work. I mean, and as a musician, I would assume that matters to you.
Yeah, it's just mellifluous. And, well, my mother's name is Ina Simone, and my grandmother's name is Irina Simone.
Oh, wow.
So for me to become Alina Simone, it felt sort of natural. It was a name. It was, you know, I'd been hearing those sounds my whole life and liking them.
Now, was your father okay changing your last name from Vilenkin to Simone?
Yeah, you know, he's totally okay. I think he totally understood.
And you have a child?
Yes.
Named?
Her name is Zoe Alexandra Simone.
Now, how did you come up with that name?
Well, Alexandra is, my father's name is Alexander, so that's her middle name. And her last name is Simone because my husband, I was perfectly willing to have her be Nob. And he just said, no, Simone is so pretty. Why don't we just do that? So that was his decision.
Well, one of the things that you said in one of the articles that you wrote for the New York Times is that changing a name, and I can relate to this, is a fresh start, but it's also a hopeful gesture. And I guess as an immigrant, perhaps changing your name, and not everyone does it, is part of, or could be part of that immigrant experience.
Yeah, you just want to sort of start again on your own terms and not be defined by... again, like some piece of your legacy that you really had no control over. And it doesn't mean that you're ashamed of it. I mean, I did grow up during the Cold War, and it was difficult at that time. But when I changed my name, it was not difficult to be Russian anymore, and I certainly felt, you know, absolutely fine and proud of my heritage. And I've released an album in Russian. I've written extensively about living in Russia and traveling there and working there. So it's not that, but I do think that... You want to become yourself. That's what I meant by it's a hopeful gesture. It's just sort of putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is who I am, and I am, you know, playing a role in defining myself, this really active role, and that you hopefully pour your best self into your new name.
Was it hard to get people to go along with this name change for you?
No, it really wasn't. So I think my friends were pretty supportive. I mean, they knew I wanted to sing, and that, you know, it was definitely an easier name to say and remember.
And you've been back to Russia, back to Ukraine?
Yeah, I've been back to both, yeah, several times.
And you're known there as Alina Simone?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And are you thinking about changing your name again or anything like that?
No, I wouldn't. But I would say that, like, when I changed my name, one thing that was funny is when you change your name, it's a legal process. So, you know, you hire a lawyer and right. You go through these steps. And I remember I was living in Hoboken at the time, which is a very small city that happens to have, like, a lot of crime.
Alina, we got to jump in here only because we have to end our conversation.
Oh, okay.
And we're playing your song. This is Alina Simone's song called A Beautiful Machine from Make Your Own Danger. We'll be right back.
The Chester County Hospital supports WHYY and is affiliated with the Cleveland Clinic's Heart Surgical Program. Their surgeons are performing breakthrough procedures, including minimally invasive heart valve surgeries. Details at chestercountyhospital.org.
Mitt Romney kicked off his presidential bid on a warm, sunny day in New Hampshire.
This really is what New Hampshire's all about, isn't it? A day like this?
Well, it's winter in the Granite State now, but the heat is on. I'm Melissa Block. New Hampshire voters are heading to the polls. Later today, NPR News will bring you results, reaction, and analysis. Live coverage of the New Hampshire primary from NPR News.
Coverage begins tonight at 8 on WHYY.
Car enthusiasts from around the world are flocking to Detroit for the North American International Auto Show. That's where the auto industry lets the public get a glance at their latest and greatest ideas. But it's not all about candy-colored paint jobs and hot new technology. The event is a barometer of the state of the industry and Motown itself. We'll walk the floors of the auto show next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
WHYY programming is supported by the teachers and education support professionals of the Pennsylvania State Education Association, educating all children for a bright future. We are PSEA, providing the power of a great education.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We are talking about names and what they mean. Joining us now is Cleveland Evans. He's a professor of psychology at Bellevue University, where his work focuses on onomastics. He's also the author of The Great Big Book of Baby Names and past president of the American Name Society. And Cleveland Evans, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
I'm very happy to be with you.
Also with us is Kelly Utt-Grubb. She consults with clients considering a name change. Her firm is called Name Counsel. She's also principal of the Creative Media People. That's a brand marketing firm. And Kelly Utt-Grubb, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Great to be here.
And to our listeners, just one open line at 1-888-477-9499. Cleveland, is it common for people to change their names, either first name or last name?
No, it's not common. I mean, obviously, it's not horribly unusual, but the great majority of people stick with the name their parents gave them, and even most people who profess to dislike their name don't really want to legally change it.
And to you, Kelly Utt-Grubb, I know that you struggled over your last name, which is Utt-Grubb, struggled over what to call yourself when you got married.
That's correct, I did. My name was Utt growing up, and my husband's was Grubb, and I got married in 1998 in Charleston, South Carolina, and at that time it was pretty uncommon, you know, in that place for people to do anything other than take their husband's last name. For me, that didn't feel good because it felt like, you know, Utt was part of my identity, and I didn't want to give that up, but I didn't really know what else to do. So I ended up going ahead, changing the name to Grubb, kept that for a couple years, but by the time my first child was born, I just sort of couldn't take it anymore. And so I decided at that point, you know, that with Utt and Grubb, there's really nothing pretty about those names, and so we might as well just hyphenate them and use them together. So I did my name and my son's, and then a couple years later, by the time our second son was born, my husband came to me and said that he actually wanted to hyphenate his name as well. He said that as our boys grew up and he talked to them about things like equality and marriage being a partnership, that he wanted that reflected in his actions. So we have a little bit unusual story.
You are the Utt-Grubbs. Let me go back to you, Cleveland Evans. And what Kelly was talking about was identity. And I think for people getting married, there is that consideration. It tends to be a consideration that women struggle with about what to call themselves and whether they take their husband's last name or not. But is it tied up with identity? Is that what's driving this, do you think?
Oh, well, of course. That's a big part of it. Children, their name becomes a part of their identity by the time they're 2 years old. You know, they know what their name is and they respond to it, and it's one of the main anchors, you know, for people's self-concept is their own name and how they feel about it. So people who change their name obviously are going to feel like, to some extent, that they are changing their identity.
Now, when you were a kid, was it okay to be called Cleveland?
My family always called me Cleve, and for a while when I was a small child, I didn't like being Cleveland because other children would call me Ohio, which I did. I was growing up in a suburb of Buffalo, New York, you know,
and exactly.
I didn't care for that, you know. Today, I don't mind it so much, but when I was a small child, there were days it was difficult.
Right, and you're not alone in that. Let me get some callers in on the conversation. Looks like we have Aaron from Fishtown joining us on Radio Times. Aaron, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi there.
When my wife and I got married, we had the discussion about last names, obviously, and you know, she's very attached to her last name, and she has a big, awesome family, and they're all very close. And you know, we talked it over and considered it, and I ended up taking her last name.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it was an interesting process. It surprisingly was exactly the same. A lot of people sort of told me conflicting stuff, that I would have to petition the courts and get a lawyer and all this other stuff. But when I actually talked to a clerk at City Hall, they said that that's only that doesn't apply for marriage, and if I was just taking my wife's name straight up, the marriage certificate would suffice, and it has, so now I have her last name.
That's interesting, Aaron. I do want to hear from our guests. How did your family feel about that?
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, my dad was okay with it, and my mom, it took her a little bit of time.
Interesting.
But you know, she's found a place of acceptance.
Well, let me see what Kelly Utgrub has to say. Kelly, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think this is fantastic, and I've actually met a lot of men who have done the same thing. And what's important about this is that the couple involved feels good about it. There's no right or wrong answer, just a right answer for, you know, for you and for your wife. So, you know, I admire what you've done. I think it's great because, you know, men don't often grow up thinking that their name will change. And so for you to be open to that, I think is a really nice thing.
What do you think, Cleveland?
Oh, well, I think obviously when people marry, you know, the it's something the couples need to negotiate, but what is important is what people feel comfortable with. I think that people need to find their own way in this, and people sometimes surprise themselves. I know there's the vice president of the American Name Society right now, just married. Her name was Iman Laversuch. And she married a German man in Germany whose last name was Nick. And at the point in the marriage service where they asked her what her name was going to be, she said Iman Nick. And she said she surprised herself. She didn't realize she wanted to take her husband's name, but she has now.
Well, there you go. And Kelly, have you thought about your children with their hyphenated last name? And if they marry someone with a hyphenated last name, what's going to happen? Have you gotten that far down the pike?
Absolutely. Yeah, our children are 11 and 9 at this point. So they've definitely gone to school with this name, and we did give them pretty normal first names. They're Andrew and Christopher. We felt like with last names that were such a mouthful that we should give them a normal first name. But, yeah, I mean, we've told them that we want it to be their choice, and, you know, it is our hope that it's a conscious choice for them, that they consider carefully and do what's going to feel good and, you know, what will be good for their wife. But, you know, the options may be that they hyphenate their name with their wife, and maybe they'll have to sort of pick their side of the hyphen. That could be one of, you know, either Ut or Grub. Maybe they'll combine Ut and Grub in some way to be their half of the hyphen. You know, I do know some people, men with hyphenated last names, and then their wife ends up taking that name. So I think there are a lot of options.
Which is always a good thing to have. Cleveland Evans, let me go back to you. We began with Alina Simone, who grew up in the Ukraine, came to the U.S. as a little girl. She changed her last name. And there are certainly many stories of immigrants coming to this country, either changing their last name or having their last name changed.
Mm-hmm.
Is it different today? Are immigrants more willing to hold on to the name that they were born with?
I think because of the differences in acceptance of multiculturalism, that there are more people who are not changing their name, but there certainly still are many who do. It depends partly on one's own cultural background and how one feels about the name in the culture you're from. I mean, one of the reasons that so many Jewish immigrants, particularly in the used to change their surnames easily when they came to this country was their surnames themselves had been imposed on them back in Europe only a couple generations before, so they weren't attached to them in the way that many other groups were.
Let me see what looks like Mike from Wilmington has to say, and we have Mike on Radio Times. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, Marty.
Hi.
This is a very, it's a long and complicated story. I'll be as quick with it as I can.
Great.
My grandmother, who is of Dutch extraction, American, was on the grand tour in Europe and met a Hungarian baron, was swept off her feet, and married him in Hungary. His name was Podmanitsky, and my father was born there, and they lived, but it was not a happy marriage, and she ended up divorcing, and my father grew up in Germany. And just ahead of the Nazis, they returned to America, where she married a Boston businessman whose last name was Walker. My father was much more attached to him than he was to his actual father, who was quite distant, and he didn't care for him. And my father was a salesman, And with a handle like Podmanitsky, that was very difficult, and because he loved his stepfather, and that was a convenient name and local, he changed our family's name to Walker. So I became Walker at age 8 and grew up with that name until I was 21, when I chose to change it back to Podmanitsky. And I have four brothers who are all Walkers. My mother introduces me as her son from her first marriage, which is true, first and only marriage. And now at 63, I would just as soon change it back to Walker. But my wife and my daughter wouldn't let me do it.
Well, that's interesting. Let me give Kelly Utgrub a chance to weigh in on that, because, Kelly, you consult with clients interested in name change, and Mike is going back and forth between these family names.
Sure, yeah. And, you know, I do work with people that change their name several times over the course of their, you know, lifetime. One that I can think of is a person whose last name is Wiener. There is a Jewish, you know, heritage to that, but she was actually changing careers and going to be a second grade teacher, and said that she just felt that she just couldn't go into the second grade with that last name. She would rather have a different name. So, you know, that's just one example, but absolutely, I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, changing your name a couple times, whatever feels right to you. Probably the most important part is talking to the people who are closest to you about it, making sure that they understand why you want to do it, and that it's not, you know, it's not any disrespect to anyone. It's not an insult. And usually once they hear that, you know, your family will get on board.
And I'm curious what she changed her name to that would be acceptable to second graders.
Yes. Well, she used her mother's maiden name that she always felt attached to that particular grandmother. And so, you know, that was a good solution for her.
Cleveland Evans, I'd be curious what you say to Mike. I mean, Mike lays out a very interesting story with a lot of family history, and he's going back and forth between these various names.
Well, you know, I think I would agree with your other guest that the important thing is to talk to the family about it and to do what you feel comfortable with. And I know there are other cases where families have gone back and forth or from one generation to the next. I mean, the author Irving Wallace was born Wallachinsky, and then his son David decided he wanted to go back to Wallachinsky, and so you have these, and then they wrote books together, so you have Irving Wallace and David Wallachinsky, who are father and son, writing books together. So it's which is a sort of another example of that, going back and forth between the more Anglo-sounding and the more Eastern European-sounding name.
And what are some of the popular names today, Cleveland?
You mean...
like baby names.
Oh, baby names? Oh, well, for boys, when you put all the spellings together, Aiden is the most popular name. Mm-hmm. And then for girls, Isabella and Sophia are sort of neck and neck as number one and two.
And can you imagine a girl named Siri soon?
From
the iPhone Siri?
Actually, there already are girls named Siri in Scandinavia, where it is a day for other reasons. But sure, I mean, in fact, isn't that Tom Cruise's daughter? You know, for again before the iPhone. So
yes, she's Furry with a U.
Oh, she's Furry. Sorry.
Yes.
Blew that.
Close.
But Siri sounds enough like a woman's name that I can certainly imagine that there are people who are going to take it from the iPhone, because obviously they chose that name partly because it sounds like a woman's name. It goes along with the female voice they have for the function.
Let me get, looks like Valerie from Chestnut Hill to join our conversation. And Valerie, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi
there.
In my family, names were really important, because my mother was a Holocaust survivor and was taken by the Nazis because of her last name, being able to be identified as a Jew. When she married, she tells me that she was pretty conscious about picking somebody to marry whose name was decidedly not Jewish, so that we couldn't be identified. Her kids, in other words, could not be identified as Jews.
Which shows you just, and I appreciate that story, just the power of the Holocaust and name changes and identity and danger. Kelly, anything you want to say in response?
Absolutely. Well, that's a powerful story. That you know, it really is. You know, what comes to mind about any of these name changes is that so many people feel afraid to make a change because they're not sure how they'll explain themselves. And that may even be just to the people that, you know, are in your daily life. And if you make a change, what do you say to them? And a simple thing to do is sort of come up with an elevator speech, you know, like what you just told, just a really quick summary of why it's important to you, what the history is. And, you know, it's amazing how far that goes in having people understand why you're doing what you're doing and let them be okay with it.
Cleveland Evans, you want to weigh in on that story, Valerie's story?
Oh, well, it's certainly a very touching story, and obviously there are other people who have changed their names even before and after the Holocaust, with one of the motives being to try to get away from discrimination, which is associated with the surname. I mean, it's sort of hard for a lot of Americans in 2012 to understand, but back in the even the middle of the 20th century, often there was a great deal of prejudice against what people thought were odd names. You know, I had a student once whose last name was Kenyon, which is a very English-sounding last name, but family was Armenian. Their name had been Arkahanian, and when his aunt went in Detroit, Michigan around 1945 to try to get a job as a bank teller, the bank said, oh, we can't hire you. We can't have a, you know, a nameplate for a bank teller that says Miss Arkahanian, you know, on it. Nobody, you know, nobody could deal with that. So the whole family changed their name to Kenyon so the daughter could get a job at a bank.
Well, that's interesting. And I was saying in the very beginning of the show about my husband's family, they were Shanzovsky, came to Ellis Island. It was changed to Cohen, and his grandfather changed it to Cohen for precisely that reason, Cleveland Evans, because he feared discrimination. He was trying to actually get into dental school and was told that there was a quota for how many Jews they were going to take. And so he changed it to Cohen, which, you know, has been sort of a, it's hard to know sort of what, where that name comes from.
Yes, the famous psychologist Harry Harlow was born Harry Israel, and he was not Jewish himself, but he changed his name to Harlow because he was told with a Jewish-sounding last name he couldn't get a job at a university in the 1940s.
Kelly, anything you want to add to that before we have to say goodbye to you, and then we're going to get some more callers in on the conversation? How'd you get into this name business?
Sure. Well, I got in from my own experience, and it's interesting that both of my names, you know, are German, although I don't actually know of any German heritage that I can trace. But, you know, I think about those things, about having a German-sounding last name. But ultimately, just sort of growing up, you know, in America, I decided for me and my identity that rather than try to make it sound better, I should just let it be what it was. So that's what prompted my whole, you know, career and my study in this. And, you know, it's interesting. It's an individual path for everyone. And that, you know, that's what's great about this topic.
Well, I appreciate you joining us today in Radio Times. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
And Kelly Utgrub consults with clients considering a name change. Her firm is called Name Counsel. She's also principal of the Creative Media People. That's a brand marketing firm. Cleveland Evans staying with us for the rest of the hour. He's a professor of psychology at Bellevue University. His work focuses on onomastics. He's also the author of the great big book of baby names, and he's past president of the American Name Society. We are talking about people's names, your name, whether you like it, don't like it. Have you changed it? Have you not? Give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
St. Joseph's University Graduate Studies in the Arts and Sciences supports WHYY and offers over 41 full and part-time master's and certificate programs on campus or online. A cohort is forming now for the Interdisciplinary Doctorate in Educational Leadership, a program that prepares new leaders marked by the vision, skills, and values to help shape the future of education. Information at sju.edu/edd. Graduate Studies at St. Joseph's University. Higher knowledge, higher potential.
When Jodi Kantor was researching her book on the first family, there was one source she didn't pursue.
I've never called any of their babysitters. I just can't do it. It's the babysitter. I'm a mom. I can't call the babysitter.
But she did speak to 200 sources, including White House aides and friends of the Obamas, for her portrait of their marriage and life in the White House. Kantor's new book is The Obamas. Join us for the next Fresh Air.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. When New Hampshire voters go to their polling places on primary day, they won't have to have an ID. The governor vetoed that attempt, but 30 states do require some form of ID. Supporters say they prevent fraud. Opponents ask, what fraud? That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of news and culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking about names today on Radio Times with our guest Cleveland Evans and taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. We posted some things on our Facebook page and Monica wrote in. I hated Monica, hated it. I so desperately wanted to be Stephanie or Jessica. Now I'm super thankful to have a name that's not too common. Garden wrote in, growing up with my name, Garden was not easy. Kids are cruel and teasing happened on a daily basis. Now as an adult, it's nice to be different. Cleveland, that's one of the things that you were saying, which is that even with your name, that sometimes we just grow into our name, or we just get used to it, or we don't get teased about it the way we did in first grade.
Oh, yeah. I mean, kids are, I think it's actually more junior high school than first grade.
That's probably true.
Where you get teased the most. But, you know, kids could be cruel to each other, and they're always going to find something to tease you about. And so that's the time when people are most likely to dislike their names and want to change them. But many people do become more positive about them. Cleveland Evans, I sort of like as an adult, because
yeah.
An unusual first name with a common last name seems to be the combination which is easiest for a lot of people to remember.
What do you make of single names? People that choose one name for themselves, whether it's Shakira, Beyonce, Cher, Madonna, there's a long list.
Well, obviously, those are almost always entertainers who are doing that, and they're trying to get a particular public image. And that fits in with the culture. It's even more common for both entertainers and athletes to do that in Latin America than it is in the U.S. Most of the soccer players in Brazil just go by one name,
right.
You know,
like
and are just called by one name.
I was reading. There's a Lakers player, Ron Artest. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. He legally changed his name to Meta World Peace this year.
Okay, I hadn't heard about that one. That's
Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
Let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. Now, just one open line. We are talking about the names we are given, the names that we choose for ourselves. And we've got, it looks like Julie from Atlanta joining us on Radio Times. Julie, go ahead. You're on the air. That would be number 3? No, we don't have Julie. Let's try number 5. And that would be Roy from East Falls. And Roy, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. We will try to fix that. Let me ask you about, I was thinking about Barack Hussein Obama, our president, Cleveland Evans. And
yep.
I can imagine as a kid growing up that name would have been a liability for him.
Well, I believe when he was a child, he was usually called Barry. You know, because of that, and he only went back to calling himself Barack, I think, when he went to college, if I remember, you know, his life history correctly. So, so he found a childhood form that was easy to deal with, and then when he becomes an adult, you know, he develops more of a sense of pride and self-confidence, just like perhaps I did and some other people did, and is able to go back to the original one.
And that seems like a pretty common story.
Yeah, it seems like something that happens to a lot of people.
And I also think about people that have professional names, and then they have their more sort of private personal names, and perhaps these are more, again, celebrities, people in the public eye, that want to kind of divide themselves so that they have this public self that lives one way and then the private self that exists behind those closed doors.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, some celebrities, there is an advantage, particularly if you do become famous, to not legally changing your name, but going by a stage name in your professional life, because then you can use your legal name to sign legal documents and hotel registers and stuff, which does help you a little bit to escape the paparazzi and the problems with too much publicity that famous people can get.
And can you help us how to spell Gaddafi's last name. I know that we used to post it on our Facebook page, and whatever spelling we put out there, we could find another one.
Yes. Well, the American Name Society just chose Gaddafi as the personal name of the year for 2011 just because of that problem. There's something like 150 different spellings of it that have been collected that journalists have used over the there are big problems, obviously, in transliterating names from languages that don't use the Roman alphabet into languages that do, particularly a lot of Arabic names, since there are a lot of sounds in Arabic that we don't have in English, that there's a dispute about exactly what letter you should use to transliterate them.
So how do you spell Gaddafi?
Oh, let me see. The first way that we ended up with the American Name Society was Q-A-D-D-A-F-I, but I'm not going to say for sure that that's the best. That just seems to be the one that we ended up with using ourselves.
Let me see what looks like Ariel from West Philadelphia has to say. And Ariel, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been with my partner for about 8 years now, and we're planning on changing our last name when we get married. And currently my last name is Dombrowski, and his last name is Flynn. So we were planning on taking three letters from each of our names and making one name, which would be Domlyn, D-O-M-L-Y-N.
Yes.
And we've proposed this. We've been thinking about it for years. We've been together a long time. And we've mentioned it, and we get equal reactions. Half of people that we talk to think it's just the coolest thing. It's so unique. It's so symbolic that it's literally half of my name and half of his.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we get equal parts reaction from people, particularly in his family, who think it's just the most horrific thing in the world, and how could you possibly ruin both of your last names in doing this.
So are you going to stick to your guns here, Ariel?
That's the problem. I'm ready to stick to my guns, but he's ready to stick to his guns, but at the same time, his father recently threatened to make a big deal out of it, and we're just too close to our families to let it become an issue and ruin our wedding and ruin our marriage.
Well, we don't want to do that, but Cleveland Evans, it shows just the power of, especially, a family name.
Oh, yes, and obviously, you know, people get very attached to the idea, and especially, we're talking about it's her future husband's father who's upset with about that, but men particularly about their sons carrying on their name, and so I would imagine that the husband's fathers are the ones who are most likely to get upset when the son says he's going to change his name instead of just the wife changing hers.
Well, and Ariel, I'm just wondering, is there any resolution here? I mean, have you talked to your father, your future father-in-law, or your husband's father?
It's something I've left up to my partner to deal with primarily. We're still about a year away from doing it. But, the other big concern that comes up is, my question is, well, what do we name the children? And his reaction, and as well as my father's reaction, is, well, you give him his name. And it's just, I just don't see it that way. I don't see why we should have to hyphenate it, because oftentimes when you hyphenate, you will end up only going by one anyway. Most people will only call you by one. But that's the big question, is how do we decide what to name the kids if we don't end up changing it?
Well, I wish we could solve your problem for you, Ariel. But you raised some really important questions, and I appreciate the call, and good luck to you as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. Cleveland, anything you want to add to that?
I think Domlyn sounds like a great solution in that particular situation. I think that's a name that is easy to understand how you pronounce it when you look at it, and will sound like a very positive name for most Americans to deal with. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that as something to change to.
Let me see what looks like Joe from another Joe, or I should say another West Philadelphia call. This is Joe from West Philadelphia. Go ahead, you're on Radio Times, Joe.
Hi. Hi, yeah. Marty in Cleveland. It's Joe Revlock, actually, Marty, if you remember me from WHYY years ago.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
Yeah, and I was curious that I never had any prejudices sent towards my name when I was growing up, because the last name is Revlock, And I guess it's rather confusing to anybody that's looking for a moniker or a way of making fun of a child's name. So it stuck. It was a good name. Children called me Rev, and I didn't mind it. And then I met a young couple at a party, like a music concert, and introduced myself, and they started laughing. And I said, "Why are you laughing?" And they said, "Well, that's funny because that's our name."
Oh.
And I said, "What do you mean? It's Revlock?" And she said, "Well, we say it Revlock, but it's spelled R-E-W-I-L-A-K."
Oh, interesting.
I went, "Revlock is Revlock?" And I thought, "Oh my God, I have family. I have roots." Because I've never known any other Revlocks, although my domain, I couldn't get on a Gmail, I couldn't get Revlock, I couldn't use Revlock because it's been used in somebody in Ohio, and it must be another family member. But it was odd that this Revlock, that I never heard before, R-E-W-I-L-A-K, was a pronunciation issue, and I couldn't change it now because then I'd have to constantly explain to people how to dub the W as a V.
Of course. Well, Joe, let me see what Cleveland Evans has to say.
Well, it seems like the caller's grandfather or grandfather or somebody, anglicized the spelling to make the spelling all go along with the pronunciation, which comes from the other language. It sounds like sort of from something Slavic, originally. And so I think that's one of the many things that that people do, when they change their names to try to make it easier for others to deal with, so that they won't get embarrassed by all the mispronunciations.
Joe, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Cleveland, you must have just gobs of names on lists, various names that people have used. Is there the most sort of absurd, funny, silly name that you have?
Oh, I don't know about silly off the top of my head. I usually give as the worst baby name I've seen recently on actual computer prints from States, a boy named Mayhem, which I think was rather bad thing to do to a child. So,
yes, Mayhem.
Yes. There are always a few parents who will do things like that, but most people are more circumspect. But of course, then the putting things together again, when women change their names, sometimes they end up with combinations that maybe they shouldn't have taken their husband's names.
Such as
heard of a woman named whose name was Heather, who married a man whose last name was Feather and became Heather Feather, which is going to cause a lot of people to giggle when they hear it.
Is what we all just did here. Let me see what Juliana from West Philadelphia has to say. Juliana, go ahead. You're in Radio Times.
Hi, I'm considering changing my. I've decided to change my name when I get married to my boyfriend of 10 years. I have a very Italian name. I'm a Korean-American. And when I was adopted, my Korean name, which wasn't the name given to me by birth either, was changed to an American name. And when I get married, I'd like to incorporate my Korean name into my American name.
So can you tell us what name you're talking about, Juliana?
My Korean name, which was given to me by the adoption agency, was Misuk Wu.
And the name that you grew up with, your adoptive family's last name is?
My full name is Juliana Marion Letteri.
Oh, interesting.
Very Italian.
Yes, and then your husband-to-be's last name?
His last name is Hill, but his relationship with his biological father he just was a deadbeat dad. So we've discussed maybe not even taking on his name either. But we're waiting to get married until I finish college.
But obviously thinking about names in the meantime.
Yes.
And for you, Juliana, is it about identity? Is it about reclaiming something?
Absolutely. And I've heard all the other stories about people wanting to fit more into, American society. I grew up in an affluent, mostly white suburban neighborhood, and other Korean Americans that I've come into contact with over the years basically have grown up in the same situation. Mm-hmm. And for us to grow up as an Asian American and not really having a very good sense of our heritage and our identity, you know, as I'm growing older, that's really something that I want to, you know, identify myself with more and to the other people around me.
Well, I appreciate the call to Radio Times, Juliana, and good luck to you as well. Let me squeeze one more caller on, Cleveland, before we have to say goodbye. This is Willie from Pennsport. Willie, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, hi. I thought it was interesting, the discussion, and I was born William Nelson, and my parents always called me Willie, so I was Willie Nelson for a long time, and now I make music, and that's sort of taken name. I can't use that one. So I make music with the name of my own invention, which is Krills Wilson. I got to combine my first and last name in the last name of the invented name.
Oh, the invented. And what is it again, Willie, just so we know?
Well, it's Krills Wilson, C-R-I-L-L-S.
Krills Wilson. Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling into Radio Times. Final words from you, Cleveland Evans?
Well, I think that's funny because, of course, there are a lot of people who have accidentally ended up with the name of a famous person. Just think about how many hundreds of men there must be out there named Michael Jackson, you know,
exactly.
Most of whom probably are very careful to always go by Mike, you know.
Well, I thank you for joining us today on Radio Times. Cleveland Evans, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
And he's a professor of psychology at Bellevue University, author of The Great Big Book of Baby Names, past president of the American Name Society. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can find out much more about this program. In fact, you can join a conversation we started yesterday about names if you go to our Facebook page.